Thanks to Monica in Springfield, Illinois, Jane in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're only 11 members away from meeting our goal of 200 Reformation Club members by All Saints Sunday, November the 6th. Now, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club is our monthly or annual giving program. When you join, you're not only supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., but you'll also receive benefits like t-shirts, books, transcripts, and advertising for your congregation. Check out the Issues Etc. Reformation Club at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, and consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club before Sunday, November the 6th.
You don't know when you're gonna be in the World Series again, and just thank God, you know, that every day that I come here and wear this uniform and try to help this organization win.
For the Occupy Wall Street protesters in New York's Zuccotti Park, it's become a familiar sight. Religious groups offering spiritual and moral support.
The Bible's all about just a fairer shake for people, and God's concern for all of God's children, not just a small segment of the population.
That's what faithful pastors are there to do, is to do nothing else than point you to the Good Shepherd himself, who is not as far as the heavens are from the earth.
Indiana truck drivers, love issues, etc.
It's a touchy holiday for Christians, let's just admit it. There is the cultural pressure that begins as part of, well, what shall we say, the hallmark aspect of this holiday, where you walk into the stores and there's the decoration, you drive down the street. I was driving through this town here, Collinsville, it had to be at least a month and a half ago, and someone already had a tombstone in the yard and the cobwebs and the jack-o'-lantern lit. It was a little early, if you ask me. Some Christians say it should all be avoided at all costs. They find, quote-unquote, Christian alternatives for the young people in the congregation. Some people say, well, you know, I don't know what to do with Halloween. Of course, the church is celebrating and has been celebrating this time of the year something very different than the cultural holiday of Halloween. And to be quite honest, we were here first when it came to this time of the year and this time of the month. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, October the 31st. Both Halloween in the world's eyes, but also the eve of All Saints Day. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Mark Buto joins us here early in this hour to talk about Christians and Halloween. I invite your questions and comments as well. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. A little bit later, we'll be doing a sermon review for Reformation Day, a Reformation sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Will Whedon at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Pastor Mark Buto is pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church in DuCoin, Illinois, and author of a recent column for Higher Things titled The Gospel of Halloween. Mark, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, how you doing? Happy Halloween, happy Reformation, happy Eve of All Saints.
And to you, you make the point in your column that when it comes to who was celebrating what first, the church really has dibs on this time of the church year. What do you mean?
Well, the name Halloween kind of comes from a contraction of the words that talk about All Hallows Eve. Hallow being an old English word for saint or holy person. And so this was the Eve of All Hallows. You know, we have in the biblical reckoning of time, the evening begins the day, so just like we have Christmas Eve is really the beginning of the celebration of Christmas, you know, the night before, the 31st of October was that evening began the day of the celebration of All Hallows or All Saints. It was a time when the church remembered not just particularly prominent saints, like we might think of St. Peter or St. Paul or St. Mary or something like that, but all the saints, and especially those who had departed in the faith, who had fallen asleep in Jesus. So it was a time for her to remember those who had died in Christ and to commemorate our Lord's victory over death. And so that evening begins the celebration of All Saints Day, and that's the church has gone back and celebrated that for a very long time. And of course, not to be robbed of the opportunity to try and ruin things. The devil comes along and tries to ape the holiday and do something else with it. And so October 31st in the fall, that's also been, a time for pagans to do their thing and so on. But originally, the day itself was a celebration of our baptized life into Christ. That's what the church has been looking at. And so, we've got dibs.
Well, that's what I want you to talk about a little bit before we go on to Halloween proper, and that is these hallows, these saints, they are saints not by virtue of their virtues, the way that many people think, but by virtue of the power of baptism. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, and a saint means a holy person. I think when most people hear that word, they say, people use it in speech. That person, such a saint, means they really live a good life, or they really do a lot of good things for others, or something like that. And that's the world's definition of a holy person: is someone who does the right thing, or lives a holy life, or follows all the instructions in the book, or something like that. But the scriptures have always taught, we don't have a holiness that comes from ourselves and how we live and what we do. Our holiness is given to us by the Lord because of Jesus' perfect life on our behalf, because of his death that pays for our sins, because of his triumphant resurrection. And all of that given to us in baptism, as the scriptures say, we are clothed with Christ. And if you read, for example, the epistles of Paul in the New Testament, he's always addressing them, dear saints of Corinth, or saints of Ephesus or Rome or wherever, because you are a saint, you are a holy person. So that is what a saint is. It's someone who's made holy by the forgiveness of sins that Christ gives. So really, that's all Christians, all believers in Jesus who have been sanctified or hallowed or made holy by Christ. And especially then for the church to celebrate All Saints is to give thanks for Jesus being the one by whom we are holy. And giving thanks then for keeping us holy throughout our whole lives, even unto death, and bringing us into eternal life.
And this is not thinking of mother or father or grandparents or the saints of the Bible or of Christian history as ghosts and goblins who haunt our lives, is it?
Exactly. That would just be silly. We're not worshiping our ancestors or doing anything like that. We simply remember, as the Bible calls it, the great cloud of witnesses with which we're surrounded, or we sing in the liturgy with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we recognize that the church goes beyond this time and space that we live in, and the church includes all those who have gone before us. And so we're not simply, we remember grandma or grandpa, or, call their spirits to help us or some weird thing like that. We're remembering that they have finished the fight, they have been called to their rest in Christ. He has finished the work of making them holy by bringing them to their everlasting life. All that remains really is for when our Lord comes back and raises us from the dead.
So, with all that said, Pastor Buteau, you say that Christians actually can celebrate and enjoy Halloween. What do you mean?
Well, because we're forgiven by Christ, because we are in Christ, because we're children of God, because we are made holy by Jesus, that gives to us the freedom to enjoy a holiday, which, as it's celebrated today, for the most part in our country, is really a day just to dress up and be a little bit silly and go and get some candy. And so there's nothing intrinsically evil or wrong about that. Are there strange traditions that are perhaps connected with Halloween? I suppose so. Are there people who want to do mischief on Halloween? Yeah. I think I mentioned in my article, do your fun activities on Halloween, but just remember not everything you do benefits your neighbor, so you may not want to leave, 75 rolls of TP in their yard, something like that. But as Christians, we don't worry about the power of death. We don't worry about the power of the devil, because those things have been conquered by Christ. And so if you want to throw on a costume, go door to door and grab some candy, or make your kids do it for you, that's just fine, and have fun with it.
Now, what, if any, pastoral caveats, warnings, would you have about indulging the celebration of Halloween as kind of the harmless fun? What would your pastoral concerns be?
I think it's easy in a time when, like anything else that's, not necessarily evil, People can still make it into something more than it's not. So again, you know, I caution folks, especially our young folks. This is a time when people are out there maybe doing pranks and other things, and don't get involved in things that are going to hurt somebody else. I mean, we're still, even though we celebrate Halloween or any other day of the year for that matter, we want to love our neighbor and not do things that are going to hurt them or harm them or cause them anxiety or hours scraping soap off their window or egg off the front door or whatever it is.
Now, this is a holiday that is increasingly associated with images of death. With about a minute before we take our break, you say that those may simply be, a chance to, as the hymn writer once said, mock to scorn the cruel grave. What do you mean?
Well, in some senses, I think maybe Halloween for the world is a chance to sort of pretend death is not all that scary. I mean, we put tombstones up and do all this sort of thing. But from a Christian perspective, it's absolutely not scary because Christ has conquered death. The world sort of nervously giggles over death, around Halloween time, but Christians boldly proclaim death has no power over us. Even though we die, yet we will live, and Christ has promised by his death and resurrection to raise us up on the last day. And so for Christians, death is just simply not something to be feared, but rather mocked and scorned as the enemy that it is.
It's Monday afternoon, October the 31st. I want to know what you think about Christians and Halloween. Do you and your family observe it in any way? If so, why? If not, why not? Give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Pastor Mark Buto is our guest. We're talking about Christians and Halloween on this Monday, October the 31st. He's pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church in DuQuoin, Illinois, and author of a recent column for Higher Things titled The Gospel of Halloween. You will find a link to this column under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. 10 more minutes with him on the other side of the break, then we'll do a little sermon review of a Reformation sermon. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. IssuesETC.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking with Pastor Mark Buto about Christians and Halloween. I invite your questions or your comments, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Some have reacted to what you've said about, maybe taking the devil lightly. I don't know if that's how you exactly intend it. One writes saying that they're concerned that if Satan and his angels are painted as frivolous, that it may be that you're saying they don't warrant a degree of respect and healthy fear. Putting Satan into the category of jokes, mockery, and powerlessness is dangerously flawed thinking. What's your response?
Yeah, the scriptures do portray the devil as our enemy. They portray him as a roaring lion who's prowling around seeking those whom he would like to devour. They portray him as the liar and the father of lies and the bringer of death and all these things. And so you don't mess with Satan in that way. You take it seriously because Satan wants nothing else than to take us away from Christ. Having said that, our Lord has defeated him. He defeated him as he was tempted in the wilderness. He defeated him on Calvary when he declared that it is finished, when he descended into hell and announced his victory to the hosts of hell, and when he rose from the dead. And Satan and death are simply they rage and they prowl and they roar, but really, to those who are in Christ, they simply have no power. Nothing, Jesus says, can snatch us from his hand, or as Paul triumphantly declares, nothing in heaven or earth or under the earth or height nor depth or anything else can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. And to that end, we can boldly declare to the devil that he has no power over us, that he doesn't have any claim on us, that he can't accuse us of anything, that we have been vindicated by Christ's death and resurrection, rescued in our baptism, made God's children, made a part of his everlasting kingdom, and Satan simply has no claim on us. And so to have a little fun at Halloween and maybe mock the devil a little bit, well, that's not taking him lightly. That's simply, as it were, reminding him and ourselves that he truly has no power over those who are in Christ. Now, take Christ out of the equation, and indeed, the devil is certainly a mighty adversary. But where Christ is, the devil simply has no stake, no hold. As Luther's great Reformation hymn says, one little word can fell him. That name of Christ, that word of baptism, that drop him like a hat, and demonstrate that he has no power over God's children.
I think what concerns me is the notion that somehow Christians ought to have fear or some kind of respect for the devil, even if it's the kind of respect you give to, say, a powerful enemy. I see nowhere in Scripture where we are to afford the devil either fear nor respect. Nothing of the kind.
Right. There's a tendency to give lip service to Christ's victory over death and then yet still be fascinated with, the devil and evil and these sorts of things and how we need to watch out and be wary and how we have to be on our guard and engage in spiritual warfare. The simple fact of the matter is Christ has done all the spiritual warfare that we need. He took Satan down when he was tempted in the wilderness. He took him down at the cross. He took him down in hell itself. He cast him out of heaven. And wherever that gospel is preached, wherever wherever Christ's baptism is delivered, wherever his body and blood are given, wherever the forgiveness of sins is given to people, the devil's running like a cockroach. And Christ's power is evident and plain, and it drives Satan away.
Why? Or how would you respond to someone who says, look, this viewpoint that you have set forth, that Christians, within obviously the reasons, within the bounds of reason and morality and good taste and good sense, can celebrate Halloween as a fun day, even as a way of mocking Satan and all his alleged power against us, which Christ has robbed him of, that's an accommodation to pagan culture, that we've kind of been blinded to the power of these pagan forces, to these satanic forces, to the degree that we would think we don't have to take them seriously?
I would simply observe, what is it that we're talking about doing? Dressing up in costumes, and even witches and ghouls and goblins or whatever. I tend to think those may be more outnumbered by the Star Wars characters and the superheroes these days. And you know, going around, getting some candy, having some fun, bobbing for apples, going to a party, you know, those sorts of things. I just don't see how those things are intrinsically evil or bad in and of themselves. And again, there's always a temptation to take what is, when something is bad, and to import that into somewhere where that's, you know, where it's simply not, you know, recognized. Now, how is that? Is that an accommodation to the culture? No, it's a recognition that the cultural event that we call Halloween, in other words, essentially dressing up and getting candy, has no connection any longer to, you know, the pagan superstitions or things like that. And so we simply carry it out as one more activity in our lives in the freedom we have in Christ. And you know, I think the other thing that's important, too, is as Christians who are free in Christ, you don't have to celebrate Halloween either. You may say, you know what, I don't want to buy candy, I don't want to hand it out, I don't want to mess with the costume. Hey, great, you don't have to. And yet, don't at the same time then place that sort of burden of guilt or piety or something like that on those who say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go out and have some fun and get some candy. So it's not an accommodation to the culture. It's simply a recognition that something in our culture isn't necessarily evil and can be observed you know, in a happy way by those who are children of God and free in Christ.
I mean, even those who say, look, let's instead of doing Halloween, let's do a fall festival. Can they, I mean, by their own reasoning of pagan connections, can they thereby avoid any alleged pagan connections there?
Yeah, not really. I mean, because, you know, the fall time, the harvest moon, and I mean, that's always been sort of a ripe time for pagans and witches to sort of do their things. I mean, the fact of the matter is, as long as we're in the world as Christians, whenever we're celebrating anything, whether it's a specifically church holiday or, you know, a secular holiday that we may engage in a celebration, there's going to be somebody out there who's misusing it or celebrating it the wrong way or bringing, you know, evil connotations. And so, you know, pastorally, I said, well, look, don't obviously take part in that, and yet you could observe the other part, you know, with a clean conscience, with a free conscience in Christ.
So tonight, well, this will be a unique situation. Usually I have to be cajoled by my wife to get up out of my chair and answer the door. Now that our kids are older, that goes to my teenage son. And it's not because I dislike Halloween or want to spoil kids' friends. I'm just, or they're fun. They're fun on that evening. I just am that kind of a grumpy Gus at home. The doorbell ringing is not necessarily music to my ears. But tonight I'm going to be in church preaching about the Reformation. And then when I get home, probably the trick-or-treaters will be trailing off. Should I be concerned that there I am standing my clerical collar handing out candy to the kids in the neighborhood?
Actually, I think that would be a great witness, Todd, that recognizes, hey, you know what? Here's one who confesses Jesus Christ, is not afraid to toss some candy at some little goblins and ghouls or superheroes or whatever else comes to the door. And that's a recognition, and that's a witness to the world that, hey, as one who's baptized into Christ, you don't have to get worked up about, you know, whatever pagan connotations that this day may have somewhere else for somebody else. But, hey, we're just going to enjoy this, and I'll give you some candy and, you know, say, hey, that's a great costume, and have a fun evening. You know, be safe. And that's great. I think it's a great witness to the world to show that being free in Christ doesn't mean we bow to the culture, but doesn't mean we have to avoid the culture as if everything in this world is somehow evil if it's not specifically or necessarily Christian.
Finally, then, and bottom line, with only about a minute, is Halloween a satanic holiday?
Satanic holiday? No. Is it a dentist nightmare? Perhaps.
Well, that's good and brief. Pastor Mark Buto is pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church in DuQuoin, Illinois, author of a recent column for Higher Things titled The Gospel of Halloween. Mark, thanks for being our guest.
You bet, Todd.
Now, what the church is remembering on this day, October 31st, is actually the Reformation. Really, it can't be confined to one day, but if you got to put a date on a calendar, it would be October 31st, 1517. And there is Luther with hammer in hand, allegedly posting the 95 Theses on the door of the church in Wittenberg and starting what I'm sure he did not intend to start, but he started it nonetheless, a debate over, well, how are men sinners justified before a righteous and holy God? We call it the Reformation, our issues, etc. Book of the month. Last day you can have it is the book of the month. It's called Luther Echoes of the Hammer. Tells the historical story of that Reformation in the form of a graphic novel. Something I think Pastor Mark Buto would just find fascinating because he's that kind of overgrown teenager. Luther Echoes of the Hammer is available from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it. 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, we're going to do a little sermon review for Reformation Day here on Issues Etc. Appropriately, a Reformation sermon preached yesterday as the church observed the day by Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. That sermon review comes up on the other side of the break, and it'll round off this Monday afternoon's Issues Etc. I remember I went to sign on the house I'm living in on this day 11 or 12 years ago, and I was coming from some sort of churchly duty, and I was wearing my black shirt with the white collar. I went in with my wife, and there was the real estate agent. She was all dressed up like some sort of ghoulish nurse, and she assumed that my collar was a costume for Halloween, and it wasn't until I commented on her costume. She said, well, I like yours, too. I said, it's not a costume. It's actually my uniform. I am what I look like I am. No costume for me on Halloween. Not because I'm against the holiday, but because, well, frankly, I had better things to do. When we come back, a sermon review for Reformation with Pastor Will Whedon.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning until noon on Saturday, November 5th. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2011 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 5th at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
A Profile in Ethics.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Dr. Eduardo Marban of the Cedars-Sinai Heart Institute of Los Angeles is helping to lead the fight against heart disease, which is the number one killer of both men and women in America. Dr. Marban has started taking heart tissue from patients and using it to grow heart stem cells. These cells are then injected back into the patient and have thus far helped to produce healthy heart muscle. Dr. Marban, who escaped from Cuba with his parents as a child, said his Catholic faith led him to pursue this procedure, which avoids destroying human embryos.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.